Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're going to welcome in a good friend of mine, a guy who's been spending some time at Citi Field. He is getting used to the new reality of what it's like to cover a game in this post-COVID world. And he's got a whole lot of news to report when it comes to the future of college football. We welcome in the outstanding writer from the New York Post, the great Zach Braziller. He joins us. Zach, my boy, what's happening? What's shaking, brother?
JJ, you ready for Yankee baseball?
Zach, don't even tease me, bro. I mean, listen, the last, 48 to 72 hours, I've been fantasizing what it's going to be like to watch Gerrit Cole pitch every fifth day. You realize we've gone 100-plus days without watching one of the major four sports go at it? Zach, I don't know about you. I can't believe I've gotten as excited as I've been about intra-squad games, for goodness sakes.
I have a running tally. I think we're at 118 days since, all the college basketball got canceled. And it feels longer, if that's possible, to be honest. I mean, yeah, I'm hoping we can get some regular season games. I mean, I was at Citi Field over the weekend. It was bizarre, but it was a night. I guess it was a good bizarre just because, you're at least out of the house and you were doing some live reporting, and it's not the same. Obviously, it's Zoom calls, and you're watching workouts from the press box, which is just so strange. But look, it's better than the alternative, right?
No question. So take me through as a reporter what it was like for you to go into Citi Field. I had Bob Clappish on a couple hours ago. He's talking about temperature checks. You can only go to a certain part of the stadium and whatnot, but was it like bizarre, surreal? Take me through what it was like, Zach, to go through going back to Citi Field for the first time since all this happened.
Well, just to even get into the media parking lot, you have to, they have to check your name to make sure you're on, the list, because there's only a select amount of media who's allowed every day. Then you go outside the media entrance and there's a line and social distancing and. You go to the metal detectors, which is normal, and then you get a questionnaire about, have you had any symptoms? Have you had coronavirus? Have you come into contact with anyone? Has anyone come into contact? Then you get a temperature check and pick up your credential, because it's different now. You need a credential every day. And then you have the option of waiting to go on the elevator by yourself or going up the stairs. And then once you get up to the media floor, they have basically arrows telling you where to go, because there's a certain specific way to go, and you're in the press box, and it's different because it's there's only a select amount of media there, and everyone obviously is separated by at least 6 feet, and then it's a long day of watching workouts, and you have a few Zoom calls and. Saturday we got there at 9 a.m. I was out there around 7, and most of it was just watching workouts, a lot of downtime. But like I said, I'm happy to do it. I'm glad to be out there doing it. It's different. It's definitely something exciting and unique and strange, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Are you cautiously optimistic we will have a baseball season?
I'm cautiously optimistic we'll get some games. I think finishing the season might be asking too much, just the way everything is going in this country right now. But I do think it does seem like they're very determined to at least get some games. Now I don't know if we're gonna finish the season or get to the playoffs, but I do think we will at least get some games.
All right, let's get to college football. This is your bread and butter. You guys reported on this over the weekend. We went back and forth via text. Zach, I'm not the least bit surprised the Ivy League decided to do what they announced with college football being pushed to the spring and all their sports being pushed until January the 1st. Because if you go back to March, and listen, I got to own this. I criticized the Ivy League when they canceled their conference tournament. Plenty of others did too. I own it, Zach. I thought it was premature.
I was right there with you. Yeah.
Listen, I thought it was an overreaction, whatever. They were right. Do you get the sense now because the Ivy League now pushes all sports and spring football that that is a sign of things to come? Or do you think the Power Five have a totally different way of looking at this?
No, I like it. I don't think it's a good thing. I was a little surprised by the January 1st, thing. I thought they would obviously push fall sports, but I didn't think they would right away say no non-conference college basketball games as long as the NCAA schedule stays the same. So that did surprise me. But no, I mean, that's one thing I think everyone uses the Ivy League canceling their tournament as like, oh, and then college basketball followed them. I don't think that's why college basketball did it. I think once the NBA, postponed their season and then you had all the other dominoes, I think that's really what got the NCAA to really start to make moves. So that's one thing I think that needs to be said. Like, I don't think that it was like they followed the Ivy. I think they more followed the NBA and the other pro leagues. But yeah, like I reported that the Patriot League is having meetings on Friday. There's some thought that they could follow because, it's very similar to the Ivy League. The Patriot League has already said that there'll be no flying for competitions in the fall, that, that student athletes cannot be on campus until all regular athletes or all regular students are there. And so, which means most of these schools don't start until mid to late August, which means, they're not going to, all the Patriot League schools aren't going to be playing the first week of September if there is a season that starts on time. But look, everything I've heard is the Power Fives are going to do everything possible to play. That's, in the fall. Now, I think eventually it's going to be real, reality is going to set in and it's going to say, we got to just move to the spring. But I do think that they're going to try everything and wait as long as possible to play in the fall.
So you think college football and the Power Five want to play in the fall? Can they play in the fall? And then you look at the idea, Zach, of basically wiping out non-conference games and basically having the conferences go and play one another. Is that practical? Is that feasible?
I have a hard time seeing that. I think it's going to end up just being conference games, whether it's the fall or the spring. And, one coach suggested this to me over the weekend, said, let's say they move to the spring. Let's say it's only conference games. Why not expand the playoffs? It's obviously
you might as well. And Zach, let me ask you this right now. If they move college football to the spring, and let's say for argument's sakes, the NFL gets through their year and they finish up their year, why are guys who are draft eligible going to play the year? Like, if you're Trevor Lawrence, what is the point in playing if you're getting drafted 3 months after the fact?
No, I completely agree. And here's the thing. I mean, the draft is usually was April. And let's say they start the season in February. I mean, you're looking at, the playoff maybe being right around the draft. I think that's another reason that the Power Fives are really trying to avoid the spring is I think they know a lot of their big stars will not play. Think about it. I mean, whether it's Lawrence, whether it's Fields, a bunch of other guys, it would not make sense. I think you would lose a lot of your star power. And that's obviously another reason. Now, look, we also have to look at it realistically here. I mean, you now had Ohio State today pause workouts. You've had Houston. You've had Arizona. You've had other schools do it too. I mean, and the virus now is, you're seeing it heat up in a lot of these college football footprints in the South and the Midwest. And, the question is it even realistic to have a season right now in the fall? Is it something that would just start in mid-October? And, I think eventually they're just going to have to do the spring. I just think that's the direction it's headed. But I think they're going to do everything possible and wait as long as they can, which is, maybe early August or so to pull the trigger.
Zach Brazil of the New York Post joins us here on The Fan as we try to figure out what college sports and what all these sports, for that matter, are going to look like. Okay, Zach, you're a basketball guy. They play college football in the spring. What does that mean for college basketball? I mean, you can't have college football and college basketball playing on the same day, can you?
I mean, that's, I mean, it's another issue, you know? I mean, but like I said, I mean, the time I've heard they've suggested playing is, you know, starting season February, and you know that's create issues obviously for some Northeast schools, but I don't really see a way around it. I know Dave Gavitt had suggested, you know, to Pat Forty of SI of maybe even starting the college basketball season earlier, which is interesting, which I don't really see happening, but he said that's something that's been discussed. But yeah, I mean, I think that's like another reason that they're going to try everything they can, you know, to play in the fall. I also think there's, you know, I can see the Power Fives playing in the fall and maybe other leagues now moving to the spring, you know, because let's be real. I mean, the Power Fives are really the only schools that can afford all, you know, the testing.
The testing, the protocol, you name it. That's totally true.
That they're the only ones, you know, they could, yeah, they, yes, they can afford it. But can, you know, can a Boise State really afford it? Can a, you know, an SM, you know, well, SM is not a good example, but like a lot of these lesser FBS schools, can they really afford everything that it would take to do this safely? So maybe you see a split, you know, maybe you see a split of teams trying in the spring. But I think that's the other thing about the Ivy League is everyone just automatically, and like I thought so too, automatically said, oh, they'll just play football in the spring. And there's no guarantee. They don't know if that's possible. And it's not just about the virus. It's about the facilities. I mean, these Ivy League schools, these aren't, you know, huge camp. You know, some of these can't afford to do it. You know, it would interfere too much with spring sports. So that's really not an announcement they made. They're going to try to do this, you know, the football and the fall sports in the spring, but it's far from a guarantee that they can.
Well, Zach, think about it. There is so much collateral damage, not just in sports, in life, because of what has happened here with this pandemic. You saw some of these big schools cutting sports that you and I don't really talk about when I bring you on here on WFAN. But I mean, we're talking about, you know, the livelihoods of a whole lot of young men and women who are now never going to get a chance to play those given sports. Zach, let's call it like it is. College sports, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, I don't know if you agree, disagree. I think it is going to look drastically, drastically different.
Yeah, and here's the other thing is, you know, I was talking to the athletic director about this the other day. They need football in the NCAA tournament. Like, they need it bad. Because if you don't, let's say, just for argument's sake, we don't have a football season. Let's say we don't have a college basketball season. You're going to see schools, you're going to see so many programs being dropped. You're going to be seeing staff cut. Budget slash, you know, the schools are losing so much money from not having sports, in addition to obviously housing and, you know, other things that students pay for when they're living on campus. But the amount of money that they already lost from not having the 2020 NCAA tournament, the money they would lose but not having college football. I mean, look, I'm not arguing one way or the other here, but it would be catastrophic for the industry if they don't have an NCAA tournament in 2021 and if they don't have a college football season.
Oh, Zach, don't even say that to me. The idea of no tournament in back-to-back years, I mean, you want to talk about the definition for a sports fan and a punch in the gut. I mean, 1 year was bad enough. And Boeheim said it yesterday. And listen, Boeheim, to me, has been very progressive with this stuff. To me, he's not, you know, one of these guys that's dismissive of the concerns with the virus and this and that. Like, he's been very, very well spoken on it. And I agree with him. Look, there are some legitimate concerns with all of this. But I don't know, Zach, if we can wait as a society for a vaccine to come out. Like, I just think from the economics of it and just from the overall mental health for so many of these, you know, athletes and coaches and just you name it, I don't know if they can wait until January, February, if there's even a vaccine by then, in trying to get these sports up and running. I don't know if we can do that, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, my one thought of pushing football to the spring, which is kind of why I'm in favor of it, is you know, right now, let's say you have a season. Let's say it's just the Power Five. You're not going to have fans. You can't. I mean, it's just not, it's not feasible. That's a ton of money being lost. Why not take a shot that by February, maybe you can have, maybe things have improved. Maybe there is a vaccine. Obviously, we have no idea. That maybe you can have a certain percentage of fans. Like, why not? I mean, odds are we're not going to be in a worse situation in you know, in February and March. So why not at least gamble just because of the money you would make, you know, back if you do have fans? That's my only thought to having it in the spring. But I understand the rationale to, you know, to trying to push forward here. Because, look, this is something that's been here since March. And like you said, a lot of people are losing their livelihoods. You know, you have mental health issues. And, you know, and if it's not really going to get progressively better, I mean, we can't, like, take 2 years off. It just, the impact would just be too astronomical.
Not wrong on that, my friend. Zach, before we get you out of here, on a much lighter note, have you gotten a chance to watch my guy Eric Devendorf and the Boeheim's Army team doing their thing in the TBT? And Zach, if you haven't, do yourself a favor. Saturday, 4 p.m., might have to make that appointment viewing television.
Who do they got next?
You know, I don't know who they're playing, but I'm enjoying watching Devendorf. It's kind of sad watching Malachi Richardson in this tournament, considering he was a lottery pick a couple years ago. It just goes to show you, Zach, not every guy can be cut out to play in the NBA, no matter how highly touted they may be. You're just not for everybody.
I've always been of the, you know, impression that if a kid's to be a first-round pick, you have to go. But after seeing what kind of the year, the experience Miles Powell had last year at Seton Hall, even though we didn't get a tournament and other such things, I'm now of the belief, if you're not a no-doubter, coming back to college, it's not a bad thing. I mean, Malachi Richards is never going to have an experience like he had in that NCAA tournament with Syracuse. He's, you know, he can do whatever he wants overseas. He's never going to be able to kind of experience what he experienced. And too many kids miss out on that because they're, you know, they're listening to agents and runners and all those guys. You know, when they're, look, odds are they're not going to be NBA players or, you know, are not going to be anything more than, you know, a ninth or tenth man. So, you know, I think my opinion has at least slightly changed as we see more guys like Richardson who just, you know, for whatever reason aren't cut out for the league.
Are you ready, by the way, for UConn in the Big East? I know I am. Hey. I know our buddy Matt Eholt's all fired up about it. What a no-brainer for them, though. What a no-brainer.
I just hope we can get to see some of their games. I mean, it's terrific. You know, Hurley is just fired up about it, and they're going to have a pretty good team, I think, coming in. And the whole, you know, the fan base is excited. I mean, the league has been really good. That's not up for debate. But adding UConn, just it kind of makes it feel like more like, you know, kind of the old, maybe not the old Big East, but at least it really just does a lot for the league's, you know, cachet and brand. It was such a no-brainer. It helps in a lot of sports, and you know, I can't wait to see UConn at the Garden, and you know, UConn against Seton Hall, Hurley and Willard, two guys who know each other pretty well. I mean, it should be a lot of fun if we, granted, we can get some games to play.
Zach Braziller of the New York Post. Zach, appreciate a couple of minutes. Keep up the good work. Stay safe, Citi Field, Yankee Stadium, and I know you will be dialed in next weekend at those Yankee Met Crosstown Subway Series exhibitions.
Hey,
I get so fired up to watch that.
Anything, I will take anything right about now.
Amen. Amen. All right, bro. Enjoy it. Good stuff there from Zach Braziller.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.